Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you The Seminarians, a dialogue with students from the Pontifical College Josephinum, produced by AM 820 to encourage and inspire vocations to the religious life. And now, The Seminarians.
Welcome to The Seminarians Show. I'm Alfonso Gomez from the Diocese of Charlotte, and joining me are my classmates, Britt Taylor, also from the Diocese of Charlotte, and PJ Brandon Marty from the Diocese of Columbus. Welcome, guys.
Woo!
How are you guys doing today?
Great.
That's awesome. So, today we're going to be talking about one of the theological virtues, and probably one of the virtues that I think kind of always gets left out of the conversation, but is super important, especially for our day and age, and especially for guys discerning to become priests. It seems to be a really relevant topic whenever Monsignor McMahon, our morality professor, gives us just practical advice, and that is the topic of the virtue of hope. But before that, before we get into it, if we could have PJ lead us in prayer.
Absolutely. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Almighty, all-powerful, and ever-living God, thank you for allowing us to be here this day. Thank you for allowing us to discuss this glorious virtue of hope. Lord, we realize that so many times in our life, it seems that there is no hope. But we know with our faith and through your word that hope always is eternal. Lord, allow us to always remember this and allow us to see hope when we have blinded ourselves from it. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, PJ.
You're welcome.
So I think there's, there's so much, there's a great temptation to become very depressed or pessimistic whenever we like pay attention to the news. I mean, there's constantly, you know, discussions of wars and conflicts and just depravity, moral degradation. And not even that, like, we don't have to even go up beyond to, you know, seeing what's going on in Syria or in, you know, African regions with terrorist organizations or situations that are going on in Latin America. Or even our backyard, like things that are going on in our local community. We can just simply look at the negative things that are going on in our own individual lives and easily become just weighed down and bogged down upon this and say, is there really like nothing good that's going to happen? Or is this where I'm going to remain at? Is this where I'm going to stay at? And actually, there's a really cool point about this in The Lord of the Rings. Do you guys remember, I think his name's Saruman from Isengard?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Saruman, you know, he had that that crystal ball. What's it called?
I'm blanking
on it. Do you remember, PJ?
No. Britt is in charge of Lord of the Rings. I'm in charge of Star Trek, and then we share Star Wars.
Okay.
We at the seminary, we divvy up all of the responsibilities that celibate men have. So, yeah. I can tell you what deck the Warp Core is on, but...
Well, as Britt looks that up, well, anyways,
yeah.
The name of this...
The Palantir. I knew it started with a P.
The Palantir.
Yeah.
The Palantir. Okay.
However you say it.
Something like that. Anyways, this object, so in the book, it's not really explained well in the movie, but in the book, Saruman obtains this object and is able to see everything that is going on in Middle Earth. And so he sees that the Dark Lord is rising and that there's all these terrible things that are coming, that are happening throughout Middle Earth. And he becomes so obsessed with that, and he focuses his attention and his will on that so much that he just becomes so distracted with it. And he eventually diverges from the good that he is called to do, because he's like one of the stewards in the kingdom of Middle Earth. And he abandons the kind of like the alliance, which is between the humans, the elves, and the dwarves, and he goes rogue. And he joins the evil side because he has lost hope, because he sees everything, the evil that's going on, and he's weighed down within. He's like, well, bad things are going to happen. So I should just, if I can't beat evil, I should just join
it. Well, and one of the things that's really important, or really the symbolism, I mean, it's just beautiful in Tolkien's work. So the wizards in that, they're kind of these like primordial beings, which are around at the beginning of time. They're really these powerful beings. They're not human, they're not man, they're not elves, they're not dwarves, they're not all this. They're this separate sort of being. And it's kind of like there are these angels similar to our world. And so when you apply that metaphor to Saruman, where he focuses on the negative and sees and loses hope, you really see a very clear image of Satan, of the the angel who fell, the one of the mightiest of God's angels, who sees the plan of salvation and that he's going to have to bow down to ultimately to Mary, to a woman, and loses hope. And says, no, that's not. And
he despairs.
Yeah, it gives him one of the biggest sins, which is despair.
Yeah, and I think I think that is the unforgivable sin. Wouldn't you say that despair is the unforgivable sin that's mentioned, I think, in the Gospel of Matthew?
Right, and well, and reading this exactly or word for word from the Catechism, it says, by despair, man ceases to hope for his personal salvation from God, for help in attaining it, or for the forgiveness of his sins. And that's Catechism number 2091, which that's the ultimate sin. You're despairing against the Holy Spirit that I've done some bad things. There's no way that I could be forgiven for this. And that's the ultimate sin. You have to believe that your sins can be forgiven because, again, why Catholics use the crucifix, we have the price of our salvation hanging upon that cross because he merited his death, merited our salvation. To say our sins can't be forgiven is the gravest of sins.
Right. No, I think that's a really good point. And to go back to this analogy with Saruman, you know, I think it's important to stay up to date with the news and what's going on in the world. But it's there's a huge temptation to not be able to see beyond that, to say like, wow, is this really the end? Is this really what's gonna how it's gonna play out?
I mean, maybe, but probably not.
Right.
This reminds me of the media just insists on showing us nothing but the bad. Mm-hmm. When was the last time you heard anything good anywhere on the news? Mm-hmm. I remember when
my sports team won.
Yeah, well, that's certainly not on ESPN. You're going to hear good news there.
No,
but a couple years ago, I can't remember if I was a seminary. It was one of these terrible school shootings. I was talking to this girl, and she was adamant that God could never exist because he allowed the school shooting to happen. And I was like, wow, like, yes, this is terrible, but like, the only reason you care about it is because the news told you about it today. I mean, how many millions of people are starving to death right now? How many people have died in wars overseas? There was a terrorist attack somewhere in the Middle East that same day, and another one in Russia that same day. You don't care about those because they're not proximate to you. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, terrible things happen every single day. And
I think people can become obsessed with those terrible things.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's not terrible things happen because humans choose to do terrible things. Mm-hmm. Like all of these things that are going on in the world are the result of fallen man making fallen choices. And without hope, then there can't be any hope if you don't have hope.
Right.
And that's why this virtue is so important.
And so I think what you were saying with the news is constantly putting this out. And I mean, if they're putting it out, it's because people are consuming it, you know? So I think it's really pertinent that people can see things in a very objective way. Yeah, there are bad things happening, but there is a transcendent good beyond this situation, this season of whatever is going on that will come about. And there's this really good line from Isaiah chapter 33 verses 15 through I think 17 that says, those who walk righteously and speak what is right, who reject gain from extortion and keep their hands from accepting bribes, who stop their ears against plots of murder and shut their eyes against contemplating evil. And I think whenever we focus too much on that evil that's going on in the world, our hope diminishes, and then we become so jaded or cynical, and eventually, just like Saruman, gave over to the evil. And in a certain sense, we had to turn our way from that evil and then focus our attention on the good, which will come about. You're listening to The Seminarian Show on St. Gabriel Radio, St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. You can hear this show every Tuesday at noon and Sunday at 1 p.m. and in the audio archives at stgabrielradio.com. I'm Alfonso Gomez from the Diocese of Charlotte, and joining me are my classmates, PJ Brandon Marty from the Diocese of Charlotte, from the Diocese of Columbus, sorry, and Britt Taylor from the Diocese of Charlotte. But PJ, you're welcome to the Diocese of Charlotte anytime you want.
Bishop Campbell, I swear he does not speak for me in these matters.
PJ,
I appreciate that
you're about to, well, I guess... It's still up in the air.
Nothing's up in the air. By the time this, I'll be Deacon PJ by the time the good people of Columbus hear this. And Bishop Campbell, I'm very happy to be here in Columbus. I do not want to go to Charlotte.
Okay. Well, there goes my invitation then.
I appreciate the invitation, but I'm very happy here where hockey can actually be played well.
Okay. I don't think we have any hockey culture in North Carolina, but you would know.
I mean, maybe the people moving south, but right. That's about it.
So what is y'all's basic understanding on the virtue of hope, on the supernatural virtue of hope? What would you guys say?
I would say something along the lines of hope is the theological virtue by which we desire the kingdom of heaven and eternal life as our happiness.
Wow, that sounds like straight out of the catechism.
Amazing, his encyclopedic knowledge.
Oh my goodness.
It's like the book is open in front of you and you're reading right to the people.
That's funny. So can you repeat that again?
So, and this is from paragraph 1817 in the catechism. Hope is the theological virtue by which we desire the kingdom of heaven and eternal life as our happiness, placing our trust in Christ's promises and relying not on our own strength, but on the help of the grace of the Holy Spirit. And, I mean, that really does summarize it quite beautifully, that one of the heresies that we were talking about in class is Pelagianism, where you think you can obtain your own salvation through your own good works, where mm-hmm. if I try really hard, then I'll stop doing this sin, or if I try really hard, then I'll be able to donate enough money or to perform enough good works to enter heaven.
Yeah.
Which, no. The only reason we can enter heaven is, again, going back to the crucifix, is because what Jesus did for us on the crucifix, mm-hmm. suffered and died for our sins. And because of that, we now have the hope that one day we will be in perfect union with him in heaven.
Right. No, yeah, definitely. And I think one of the words that you mentioned in the definition is desire.
Of my own words.
Of your own words, citing Britt Taylor, is desire. This desire for union with God, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that desire means it's the virtue of hope is seated. That means it's found in the will. And so as we know, do you guys remember what the two faculties of man, like what are the two faculties of man is the intellect and the will?
Yeah.
And so whenever you experience grace, you have a healing of those two because we have a disorder. So can you guys explain a little bit about the disorder that happens to the will after original sin?
So original sin kind of messed up our compass, so to speak.
Yay.
I'm gonna try and put this into more simple terms because I'm a very simple man.
There you go.
So our compass should point north. We should always be pointing towards God, and that's where we're meant to go. But original sin kind of screwed up our compass a little bit. We don't always point to God. In fact, more often than not, we're going to be drawn to pointing away from God,
mm-hmm.
Because we have something called concupiscence. Concupiscence is our attraction to things that are not great for us. It's kind of a leftover
remnant of original sin.
So it distorts our view. So we look at things that not only does the church teach are bad for us, but actually are bad for us,
mm-hmm.
and go, this is a good thing. It's it's what allows us to justify things like stealing and crime and hurting other people. So like when you hurt another person, generally you're doing that not because you want to hurt that other person, but because you're trying to get some satisfaction out of it,
mm-hmm.
because you're trying to do something good for yourself and you don't really care who else is hurt, either in general or in that moment. And that's not the way God calls us to live. We are a communal people. We're a social people. We're called to not only look out for ourselves, but look out for each other.
Mm-hmm.
And hurting other people isn't a good thing. But we do it all the time, and usually we do it to the people who are closest to us, and that's because we're selfish,
mm-hmm.
and that is a remnant of our concupiscence, because we're drawn to please ourselves before we please others, and that's not what God does.
Right.
I mean, look at the crucifix. I mean, again, Jesus on the cross, on the crucifix, is the perfect example of selflessness.
Mm-hmm.
He's not getting anything out of this. He is God, and then he's taken on man. That must be humbling enough for the infinite God of the universe to do. And now he's going to put off that man in the manner of death, mm-hmm. in the manner of crucifixion. I mean, he is not winning anything here. That's all for us. And that's what he's calling
us to do. It's all selfless action.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. And so when you say there's a kind of disorientation with our faculties, ourselves, it's like there's this disintegration within the human person. So like the intellect can get things wrong and it's prone to error and rationalizing things in order to achieve whatever they think is good for them, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Our idea of what happens is our idea of what's good has moved from what's actually good to whatever
we perceived as good or
are perceiving as good. Yeah.
Which, and we talked about that in an earlier show where a moral act, every action where you're choosing to do something, you're choosing what you think is good. It's just what we think is good isn't always actually good.
And so the same thing happens with the will. Mm-hmm. So like the will then desires things that are not actually good for the person.
Right.
But it thinks that pursuing this, desiring this thing, will actually
bring about fulfillment
or bring about a satisfaction of the will.
And could you help us out with like intellect and will?
Sure. So there's two faculties of man. One is the intellect, which is the use of reason. I mean, it can be easily associated with the mind, learning, using your faculty of reason to take what you learn, what you perceive, and then developing a certain ideas of conscience. And then there's the will, which is the act of desiring. And it's a movement that perceives an object beyond yourself that you see, that you desire, that you want to attain. And so is that good?
Or? The only reason I bring that up is because sometimes the church uses very precise language.
Mm-hmm.
And as our culture is gone more and more toward a small vocabulary.
Yeah. Intellect can be seen as smartness or
exactly. Yeah. And I'm the same. Like,
yeah.
You know me. I think I'm a decently smart guy, but I'm also a pretty simple man. I think my vocabulary is significantly less than yours. So I always, whenever we use the formal term, I always like to make sure that everyone's on the same page with what we actually mean by it.
Sure. And so with the will is also, with the will, the part of the person that does the desiring of something beyond the person itself is disordered and wants things that is not actually good for the person because of what you were talking about with concupiscence and original sin. And so I think because the human person has this disorder in the will, that's the reason why we kind of get fixated on hearing bad news, on listening to the terrible things that are going on from our backyard to different countries into our individual lives. And we get focused on that. And maybe not even known to ourselves, but we think that there's a satisfaction or curiosity, like in the curiosity of learning these things, but then it does a damaging effect to us. It leads us to despair.
No, absolutely. Well, and like Britt said earlier, when was the last time you heard good news, Britt? What'd you say? When my sports team wins?
Yeah.
Like, how distant? Like, anybody who knows me knows I love my sports.
Mm-hmm.
I love my Steelers. I love my Penguins. I love my Blue Jackets. I love my sports teams. Objectively, none of that matters. I hate to tell everybody, sports don't matter at all. They are a complete distraction from life. And they can be a good distraction from life, but we live in a world where I was looking through my little news feed on my iPhone when Alfonso was talking about it, and I'm looking through, I get the alerts from all the Columbus newspapers and stuff. Everything's about this person died, this person died, this person died. There's a shooting here, there's a shooting here. The Blue Jackets got eliminated. Shooting, shooting, shooting. Mm-hmm. Like the only thing that's positive is when your sports team wins, and even that's not always positive.
But,
right.
But, and, sorry.
Yeah, and so basically, I mean, the world seems to be living in despair.
Yeah.
Where they've, not just on a personal level, but on a societal level, we've lost this sense of hope where we're so inundated with this negative and this the bad side of things right. that you can't help but give into despair. And that's, you see so many people who are on an uprise with, I mean, not to say that this is the only cause, because it, I do believe it's mental illness, but depression and this social media fad where I've got to be able to, I've got to get out there and I've got to get all these likes and I've got to do all these things, because
for sure.
all we're focusing on is the negative, and they're trying to put it out there and trying to get some sort of happiness because they're not hoping in the right things.
Exactly.
Well, that's because we live in an atheistic society.
Yeah.
I mean, our society wants to be, our society doesn't want God anywhere. Even the Christians in our society don't want God in our society. They want God in church, and most of them only want to go to church if pastor or father or mm-hmm. rabbi is going to tell them exactly what they want to hear. Mm-hmm. And that's no way to live. I mean, what's the point?
No.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why the world's kind of going downhill, I think, is because we're godless.
And I think to what you were saying, PJ, with, you know, all you see is those negative stories, those really dark stories on your phone. They're there because, in a certain sense, people do want to read that. Like, or else the news agencies would lose money and they wouldn't want to publish it. Yeah. And so I think that speaks to the reality that people's wills are disordered to these negative stories. And so then they're ordered to the negative stories, and then because they're reading this, then they experience the effects of despair that Britt was talking mm-hmm. about. And so it just shows you that, you know, this is not compatible. This is not good. This is not conducive to the human person to be fixated on this. But then the virtue of hope comes in and redirects our will and redirects our perspective to the good.
How do you think, I mean, obviously we're all in agreement that the world is very much in a sense of despair. So how can we as individuals move beyond despair and start to get that sense of hope back? Like, what can we do?
Well, I think as an individual, first of all, as a Catholic, I think one of the things that you need to do to cultivate the virtue of hope is obviously frequent the sacraments, because you experience grace through the sacraments, and it's through grace that hope is communicated. Like mm-hmm. it's through grace that the will is healed and ordered back to your perspective to focus on the good and not on the evil. That's one thing. The second thing with the secular world, I think to preach the truth, to preach Jesus Christ, to say, this is not the end. Like, this world is not our home, and you know it because you are not satisfied, right. and that there's something beyond here, and that tragedy will not have the last word. And you shouldn't be caught in despair, because that's not the way it's supposed to be. And so it's really an invitation for you to leave despair. That's the gospel message. It's for you, an invitation for you to leave despair and to enter into communion with Christ, so that you can attain union with him through the virtue of hope.
Mm-hmm.
So I think those two points are really pertinent for the Catholic and for the non-believer as well. But yeah, I think especially that continual dialogue with Christ for the Catholic.
And that's the catechism even says that, where hope is a gift of prayer, where if you're trying to do these things on your own, I mean, we already talked about it, you're trying to go about, like, I'm trying to be happy. Mm-hmm. You can't be hopeful just by waking up in the morning and I'm going to be put on a smiley face today. Yeah. And I'm going to be great. No, it's because that's fake. Mm-hmm. That's not authentic. But if you're praying for it, and then you really start, you'll see this shift where you pray for the gift of hope. You start praying for these things. You're praying for the conversion of the world, mm-hmm. and you start to see these things happen. It's not going to be instantaneous. And that's one of the things I really think people need to recognize about prayer. As all three of us have discerned, we didn't go to church one day and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And all of a sudden our phone rang and said, oh, I want you to be a priest.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much a ongoing discussion and hope. It's not going to be cultivated overnight.
Right.
You have to keep working on it. You have to keep praying for it. And ultimately that gift will be bestowed upon
exactly.
you.
Exactly. It's a gift.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. No, totally. PJ, did you want to say something?
Oh, yeah. I totally sympathize with people who despair, because I live in despair. I am a pessimist. I, working in the corporate world, like, My default outlook is the sky is falling. Everything's terrible. Oh, my God. The world is ending. And it is a battle to fight against that.
It is,
because
yes.
it served me really well in the working world. But now I have hope. I really authentically believe I do. And I know in my heart that hope is there. And I'm constantly having to remind my intellect that, you know,
that's good. That's good. Yeah.
There's nothing I can do that's gonna blow everything up to the point where Jesus can't fix it.
And that's good that you bring that up, because you know, hope is not the about you telling your intellect that it's gonna be okay. Because again, hope is not like this. We can't say hope and optimism is the same thing,
right?
Because hope is the desire. This, like, I will union with God, and I'm going to persevere through these dark moments, in spite of that. But with that, so we just invite you all to hope more, to orient yourselves to the good, to Christ, and to cultivate this great virtue that our culture so desperately needs. And with that, Britt, if you would close us off with a prayer.
Sure. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Eternal God, and in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for joining us for today's Seminarian Show. You can hear this show every Tuesday at noon and Sunday at 1 p.m. and in the audio archives at stgabrielradio.com. Thank you and God bless.
The Seminarians is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of the Seminarians and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com.